Please take a seat. To see everyone here, I'm sure there are people who have not been back. Welcome back. I think I keep disappearing, don't I? I have to bend down. welcome back, and it's especially lovely to see members of the Girls Brigade and King's Kids with us today. And around the church, there are some cards that were made, I think, by the members of the Girls Brigade some time ago during lockdown. We finally remembered to put them out today. So please, if you know one, take it. If you see one that nobody else has taken, then please take it away with you. And thanks also for everyone that donated goods that will be donated onto the food bank this week. And thanks especially to Kathleen Rollings and Barbara Ingman for being down here on Friday morning and setting it all out. There was a very basic notice sheet that hopefully you received when you came in, but the most important thing on there is the fact that for the Baptist congregation, we are having an AGM. Obviously, we haven't had one for a while. On Sunday, the 7th, I think, I can't quite read this, 7th of November, in the church, instead of our sort of normal service. So it will be a short act of worship, and then we will have our AGM and then our church meeting. And hopefully we'll get all of that done in the time that we'll be for our normal service. So we are looking for nominations for the diaconate, and the nominations need to be in by next Sunday. So I have some forms here, and if you'd like to have any other information about what it is, what it means to be a deacon, you need to have been a member for at least 12 months, but come and have a word with me or Mary after the service and we'll let you know. Or if you've got any ideas of who you think might be suitable, that would be great. So thanks for listening to me. We have Adrian here to take our service today, and next week we have Reverend Mark Jones back again to take our service. So thank you, Adrian.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Good. I've got the welcome today is responsive. So I'm going to read the first line in italics, and then I'd like you to respond with the lines that are in bold print. So it's shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Come to him with joyful songs. His love goes on forever. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in our worship today, help us to thank you for all the good things you have given to us. To learn from your word about how to trust you and to serve your kingdom and to pray for others. Amen. Now we're going to sing together the hymn, Now Thank We All Our God, and the words will be on the screen. If you do need a word in the book or anything, hymn numbers are on the board. During this hymn, if anybody has anything else they want to add to our collection of goods for harvest, do please come down during the course of this hymn and put your things at the front of the church. So let us stand to sing Now Thank We All Our God. In case anybody hadn't realised, we are celebrating harvest today. A bit of a clue in the display at the front, and we give everybody thanks who's contributed to these gifts. They're going to be distributed, if they're food gifts, via the food bank at Western Fable. We have also, over the last few weeks, been collecting items for the refugee appeal of various other non-food items, and any of those items, non-food items, are going to be distributed via the Red Cross to the Afghan refugee appeal. But a few thoughts of harvest. Have you ever done those sort of word search games where somebody gives you a word and says, what words can you make out of the letters in that word? What about harvest? I'll give you one, shall I? Start you one. E-A-T, eat, is in there. That's very appropriate for harvest, isn't it? Anybody see any others? Has? Vest, rest, starve. Who said starve? Hold on to that one, because we're coming back to that one in a minute. Heart, vast, yep. Oh, I've seen that one. Okay. Have, yeah, okay. We had starve. The two that I was particularly thinking of was starve and share. Now, I want three volunteers now. So what I'd like is somebody from King's Kids. Okay? There we go. Would you like just come up front? And I'll come down. I'll come down the front with my sharp knife. Actually, can we share the little inset on the screen, Stephanie? So I can see what you can see. Right, let's make that a bit better, hopefully. Oh, where are we? That's going to be better, isn't it? So we can. That means everybody outside can see us as well. So if I can just do this. Because what I'd like you to do is to sort of stand. Can I have one of you stand here? Step forward a bit so we can. Until you can be seen on the camera. Or do you need to step back? Step back, I think, actually. Where we need, where do you need? About here. There we go. Right. If you turn around and face the congregation and then take a step back. Let me see whether I can adjust this slightly. A bit of luck, will it? There we go. That's better. So you there. Can I have the two of you here? And what we're talking about today is about the fact we can starve and we can share in heart. And the three volunteers here, they're representing the world. And you represent the first world, cases like us and America and everything else, you know, the well-off people in the world. And you two represent the poorer people in the world, because there's about one third of the world is well-off and two thirds of the world are well-off. That will make sense to everybody? Now, I've got an apple here. So if I cut the apple into three pieces, which is always terribly difficult to cut one apple into three pieces, isn't it? So I'm going to cut it rather strangely like that, because then it's going to be easy for me to cut. Okay. Yes. Okay. So now I'm going to distribute through the world. We've got three pieces, enough for all the world. Now I'm now going to distribute it how we distribute our food in the world, which is, there you are, you get 2/3, and you can share that piece between the two of you. Let me, at least you then get a piece. Okay, but that's harvest, the sharing of harvest, the sharing of our resources in the world makes us think, doesn't it? Just that little illustration. Okay, you can go back and sit down and wait to eat your apple till you get upstairs into the children's bit, okay? But now we're going to have a poem read to us.
Remember the poor when you look out on the fields you own, on your plump cows grazing. Remember the poor when you look into your barn at the abundance of your harvest. Remember the poor when the wind howls and the rain falls, and as you sit warm and dry in your house. Remember the poor when you eat fine meat and drink ale at your fine table. The cows have grass to eat. The rabbits have burrows for shelter. The birds have warm nests. But the poor have no food except what you feed them. No shelter except your house when you welcome them. No warmth except your glowing fire.
Thank you very much, Kel. We're going to sing again. Can you put the inset it back on the screen for me so I can... That helps me know what... This is the picture that's inset on here, is what the people who are on Zoom service can see. So that's why I have it. And I've got a little thing here which allows me to change the picture slightly. So all of those who are out on Zoom, good morning, everybody. Hope you're enjoying the service. We're going to sing our second hymn, which is We Plough the Fields and Scatter. And at the end of this hymn, the young people are going to go upstairs to do their activities. So for a couple of them, it's to eat a piece of apple as well. So we plough the fields and scatter.
Thank you.
And Penny is going to now read from Leviticus for us.
Leviticus chapter 23, verses 33 to 44. The Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, on the 15th day of the seventh month, the Lord's feast of tabernacles begins, and it lasts for 7 days. The first day is a sacred assembly. Do no regular work. For 7 days, present offerings made to the Lord by fire. And on the 8th day, hold a sacred assembly and present an offering made to the Lord by fire. It's the closing assembly. Do no regular work. These are the Lord's appointed feasts, which you are to proclaim as sacred assemblies for bringing offerings made to the Lord by fire. The burnt offerings and grain offerings, sacrifices and drink offerings required for each day. These offerings are in addition to those for the Lord's Sabbaths, and in addition to your gifts and whatever you have vowed, and all the freewill offerings you give to the Lord. So, beginning with the 15th day of the seventh month, after you have gathered the crops of the land, celebrate the festival to the Lord for 7 days. The first day is a day of rest, and the 8th day also is a day of rest. On the first day, you are to take choice fruit from the trees and palm fronds, leafy branches and poplars, and rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. Celebrate this as a festival to the Lord for 7 days each year. This is to be a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. Celebrate it in the seventh month. Live in booths for 7 days. All native-born Israelites are to live in booths so that your descendants will know that I made the Israelites live in booths when I brought them out of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." So Moses announced to the Israelites the appointed feasts of the Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Penny. So, harvest has been celebrated for thousands of years. We may do it slightly differently now. We don't now go out and go camping at harvest for 7 days, do we? We don't go and live in tents for 7 days. But we are still called to come to harvest to give thanks to God for his harvest, and to remember that God gives us the gifts, that if he didn't give them to us, we wouldn't have them. But he is also calling upon us to remember that we need to share our harvest fairly with other people. Now, just a few years ago in this country, the thought of actually collecting goods and food to contribute to a food bank, we would have been thought of as being crazy. What on earth do we want food banks in our country for? But things have changed. We've got many more people in our country who don't have all that we have. So we need to be thinking about them as well. As my illustration with the apple with the children hopefully struck a chord with us, struck something to remind us that we do need to share our harvest fairly with others. We're going to sing again now the hymn, "For the Fruits of His Creation, Thanks Be to God." So then, thanks for the harvest. In that reading from Leviticus, the Feast of Shelters, also called the Feast of Tabernacles, from the Latin word for dwelling, was the last feast of the liturgical calendar. Passover was the first feast. So it was the, in terms of our modern day calendar, this is our harvest, and it was then in those days followed by the Passover, which we celebrate as Easter. Obviously, we now have the Feast of Christmas in between harvest and Easter. Things change, but things also stay the same. The Feast of Ingathering, the Feast of Harvest, bringing everything in, the crops in from the field, storing them in the barns. In those days, you grew in the good months. Food and vegetables, you raised your sheep and your cattle, and then you stored them, you gathered them in, you stored them for the winter months, the months when things don't really grow. We have got very used over the years to be able to go to the supermarket and have anything we want at any time of the year we want, haven't we? I mean, some of the older ones here, you can probably remember when you had peas in the pea season, didn't you? You had beans in the bean season. But if you were very lucky, you had strawberries in the strawberry season. But now with everything else, we've got very used to being able to have what we want when we want it. And that means that we forget to give thanks, I think. My childhood, when I was brought up, how did I know Christmas was coming? I knew Christmas was coming when I got home from school and I walked into the door and I smelt the scent of satsumas or mandarins or clementines, those small oranges. We only ever had them at Christmas. And the scent of them was the key to me that Christmas was coming. And I would give thanks for that smell because I knew soon it would be Christmas. The last year, and particularly probably the last 6 weeks or so, have taught us that sometimes things aren't there when we want them. There are many people, as we've said, who are relying on donations to food banks for their staples. So we need, as we are told in Leviticus, to give thanks for the harvest. This feast was the longest of the festivals. It was the most joyous of the festivals. And the going into the tents, living in the tents, was reminding people of the coming out of Egypt, of the tabernacle, the design of which was given to Moses by God himself. And it recalled the booths or shelters the people lived in during the time they received the Ten Commandments. It was a reminder of the time they were homeless. So harvest is not just a time for giving thanks for what we have gathered in. It's also a time for reflection, for looking back and giving thanks for all the things that God has done for us over the years, all the blessings that he has given to us over the years. It's also a time to rejoice. We're told in Leviticus 23:40 that Penny read to us, that we need to be rejoicing before the Lord your God. Rejoicing doesn't just mean being happy. Rejoicing has an element of giving thanks in it as well, the rejoicing. And we have particular occasions for rejoicing, for births, for birthdays, for weddings, celebrations, even funerals can be a time of rejoicing. Funerals can be a time of standing. Maybe you can never actually say that a funeral is a happy occasion. But a funeral can be a time for rejoicing as we remember and give thanks for the life of the person we are saying farewell to. It's also a time to remember. We said the Israelites were called to live in tents for those 7 days to remember when they were a nomadic people going around the desert. God wanted them to remember where they had begun. And we need to remember the steps in our journey with God, where we began with God. We need to look back and remember as we plan to look forward and go on. We are called to change. This last 18 months has been very different. We've had over 70 people in church this morning. That's the best congregation we've had at any service for the last 18 months on Zoom or otherwise. For the fellowship, for the Methodist, Baptist, together. But it's very easy for us to put the pandemic behind us, to say we're going forward and let's get back to normality and come back into church and start worshipping in church the same way that we did before all of this turned our world upside down. Actually, I think that this time of remembrance and rejoicing and thanksgiving is also a time when God is calling us to think about how things are going to change in the future. I read in the paper this morning, Sunday paper this morning, there was a story about an Anglican church where the new young female vicar, she's changed the name of the church from St. Michael's to St. Mike's in order to attract people into church, become more relevant for today. Well, we may smile at that sort of thing, but actually, we do need to think about how we can attract more people into our church, into this church, into our worship services. How can we attract more people to worship with us? If we are discovering that coming back into church, sitting in the pews, and doing the things that we've always done, that our numbers are dropping, maybe that means we need to think about how we may need to change our worship. That's not necessarily to say that we need to change all our worship and all our traditions and all the things that we do, but maybe we need to think about why it is that the people out there today, they are not coming to worship with us in church. If everybody who went into Waitrose this morning to shop came into church with us, we wouldn't have room for them, would we? Why don't people want to come and worship with us? Why aren't we attracting? Why aren't we attractive? Lots of people look at the church and think the church is irrelevant to them. We make these collections on special occasions, but do we do it on a regular basis? Well, yes, we're going to. In the past, we have had ongoing collections for food banks, and we intend to continue to have ongoing collections for food banks. So it's not just this once a year. I'm going to say there's not enough there to feed one family for a year, is there? But over coming weeks and months, we need to respond to people in our communities who are in need. And we will have a collection point in church where people you can bring week by week, you can bring food goods that we can then share with people. We need to rely on God. It's easy for us to come into church and feel comfortable, isn't it? That we've done our bit for God, we spent an hour in church, done our bit for God, that's him done for a week. Well, I will challenge that we should be doing something for God every day. When you came into church, hopefully you were all given this little prayer memoir, reminder of prayer. Over the last 18 months, a number of us have been meeting on Zoom, and we're now continuing to meet on Zoom on a Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock in the morning for prayer. And this sheet illustrates a lot of the things that we, over the recent period, have been thinking about in those prayer meetings on Zoom, the things that we have been remembering. We don't name names on this sheet because some people get embarrassed if they saw their name here wanting prayer. We name situations. So we remember those who are awaiting results of hospital tests and those who are awaiting treatment. We remember the BMS in this and indeed the Methodist missionary group. During this 18-month period, the missionary societies, almost all overseas missionaries, were called back home to the UK. They're now starting to go back onto the mission field.
And we need to remember those who are going there. We need to remember that we rely on God for everything. And we need to remember that we rely on God to bring people to us to worship with us. But we rely on God when we tell people about him and about the fact that we worship. How many of your friends and neighbours know that you come to church on a Sunday morning on a regular basis? Simple challenge. Tell a friend or neighbour who doesn't know that you come to church that you do come to church. When they say, why? Well, before you tell them, pray to God and rely on God that he will give you the words to say to them when they say, why? We're going to say the Lord's Prayer now. The reason I've put it in here rather than following our prayers of intercession is because I want us to say it slightly differently. We had a responsive part at the beginning. Let me just... There we go. I want us to say the Lord's Prayer in a responsive way as well. Can we... There we are. So people can see me as well. So I will say the lines in bold, and you respond with the lines in italic. One of the reasons I'm doing this morning is because when we say the Lord's Prayer, it's very easy to rattle through the words without actually listening to the words. Hopefully this will help us to remember what the words of the Lord's Prayer mean. So, our Father, which art in heaven, thy will be done on earth. Give us this day and forgive us our trespasses and lead us not into temptation. For thine is the kingdom, forever and ever. Amen. We're going to sing now. Come, you thankful people, come.
is now going to come and lead us in prayer. Thank you, Mary.